big juggling act.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson is in a bit of a pickle. He's weighing what to do next in the fallout from the financial crisis, and he's taking some heat about what's already been done, all amid reports by the Wall Street Journal that he could ask lawmakers next week for another chunk of the Troubled Asset Relief Program. We're joined this morning by Ashley Milne-Tite. Ashley, let's start off with a reminder of where the first chunk went.
Okay, $250 billion was set aside for the banks. $40 billion was later funneled to insurer AIG. And Citigroup last week received an extra $20 billion to help them stay afloat.
So, Ashley, there's so much going on here. This request, if it does come, comes at a pretty interesting time with this report that's come out now that the first part of this money wasn't spent as efficiently as some lawmakers had wanted.
Yeah, that's right. The Government Accountability Office yesterday came out with an investigation into how the Treasury Department was handling the whole TARP program. And they concluded that, frankly, the funds weren't being overseen that well. Mm-hmm. And remember, this program is actually supposed to ultimately benefit taxpayers. Taxpayers are supposed to receive a return on their investment. And the way things stand at the moment, the GAO isn't convinced that that's actually going to happen.
So this very well may happen. Paulson goes before Congress to talk about this, but there are so many different ideas of where this money should go.
Well, providing it's actually approved, I mean, Henry Paulson's made clear he'd like more of the money to go to financial institutions. But there's pressure from some quarters to funnel some of that money to consumers to ease the financial pressure on them. I mean, Paulson's colleague over at the FDIC, Sheila Bair, is backing a plan to help homeowners who are behind on their mortgages. And then, of course, there are plenty of other people who'd like to see some of that money go to the car makers.
All right, Ashley Milne-Tite joining us from New York. Ashley, thank you.
You're welcome.
And the fallout continues. The Labor Department revised their productivity data for the third quarter. It rose 1.3%, down from the quarter before. A report by ADP Employer Services says the American private sector cut a quarter of a million jobs in November. Those reports don't bode well for Wall Street, but it's been a mixed bag everywhere else. Japanese and Hong Kong shares were up an average of 1.5%. European markets are trading lower for the most part. There was a rebound for the Dow, NASDAQ, and S&P yesterday, but futures are down this morning. Ah, the holidays, family, food, presents, junk mail. Yeah, this time of year brings a lot of elements together, including a mailbox full of solicitations. Joel Rose reports, 'tis the season to ask for cash.
One bad year in the stock market is generally not enough to stop charitable foundations from giving away money. That's according to Nancy Bird, a nonprofit consultant based in Philadelphia.
Foundations have obviously noticed a huge hit to their investments. But because most foundations base their grant making on 3 years of a rolling average, they're still distributing at a fairly high level, even though their investments went down.
But if the downturn continues into 2009 or beyond, Bird says foundation and corporate giving is likely to suffer. Deborah Kahn is the director of Delaware Valley Grantmakers, a membership organization of 150 philanthropies in the Mid-Atlantic region. Kahn says individual donors may hold the key.
We've seen it time and time again. When times are bad, people who can really do dig a little bit deeper.
Which could mean even more of those direct appeals in your mailbox. In Philadelphia, I'm Joel Rose for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, where you can choose up to 4 customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. By the Medtronic Foundation, supporting the health of people and communities through grantmaking, employee giving, and volunteerism. The Medtronic Foundation, on the web at medtronic.com. And by Clarkson Potter, publishers of The Splendid Table's How to Eat Supper, a holiday gift idea for people who love to eat, now available at splendidtable.org.
Here's a conversation starter, hedge funds. No, they don't make for riveting chit-chat. But hedge funds have been in the news a lot lately. There are reports that Ramius Capital will shutter 4 of its hedge funds worth more than $500 million. That's with a B. So why do hedge funds matter? Time for the Marketplace Decoder. And Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman.
First, the textbook answer. A hedge fund is a private partnership that pools money from wealthy individuals, pension funds, corporations, and the like, and invests it to make a profit. Because the fund is private, it doesn't have to report how much it earns or what it's holding to financial regulators. Will Swartz of SmartMoney.com has been following the hedge fund industry for over a decade. He says it used to be pretty simple to define a hedge fund.
It was a fund that held some stocks long, where you'd make money if they'd go up, and some stocks short, where you would make money if they went down.
By betting both sides of the market, the fund balanced out or hedged its risk. These days, hedge funds invest in all sorts of markets: currency, oil, precious metals, stocks, bonds, or all of the above. And Swartz says most of them use borrowed money or leverage to juice their returns.
Now, a hedge fund is basically a catch-all term for any number of investment strategies that can invest in anything from bonds, stocks, the third race at Aqueduct.
The third race at Aqueduct. Well, if a hedge fund manager did walk up to the betting window with a few million bucks, he'd be looking to place a bunch of bets, all at different odds. Washington University finance professor Charles Cooney explains the goal would be to spread the risk around the whole field of horses.
So they might bet on Candy Dandy to come in fourth, Lucky Tiger to come in sixth, and some other horse is going to break its leg.
By betting on a lot of different outcomes, the hedge fund can make money off the third race no matter how it finishes. And in theory, the same goes for any market, stocks, bonds, commodities that a hedge fund might invest in. But hedging is no guarantee of success. In really crazy markets like we're living through right now, so many bets go wrong that the fund can be exposed to huge risks. The problem's amplified by all that leverage. Just a small movement in markets can induce big losses and force managers to sell off assets at any price. And we've seen a lot of that lately at the racetrack called Wall Street. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
There's more at our website, marketplace.org, in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.